is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, help us now to expound the truth of the Word of God in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Please be seated. This morning, we never did tell you where we was going or what we was doing for the few minutes that we took, but we preached on the word now. And we're talking about the ability of the God that we serve. And if we had to call it something, we'd call it God's present ability. It said now when the Apostle Paul penned it on papyrus and a quill. It said now when Wycliffe translated it into English from the Latin Vulgate in 1380 onto parchment. When they set the type for the first King James Bible in 1611 on the Gutenberg press, it said now. And when I typed it into my word processor last night without any paper, it still said now. I want to tell you that we serve the God of now. Now. And the word Jehovah is a compound word that means I am, I was, I will be. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God said, tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. God didn't identify himself as I was. I know a bunch of churches that are serving the great I was. Need to get them some banners up, the great I was. Because to hear them tell it, God was big back in the day. Was big. Sadly, I know some churches that have just about turned into museums. They tell me that the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, where Spurgeon preached in the second part of the 1800s, I mean, every message, everything he said, stenographers were there writing down every single word, and it would make the paper on Monday morning, the words of the great Spurgeon. They tell me now that the only way that church survives is to do historical tours and charge admission to show you where Spurgeon preached. That's how they keep the doors open. It has degraded to almost nothing. It's an I was church. The great I was. And while the word Jehovah does indicate the past, I was, I am, I was, I will be. You understand, that's not how he identified himself to Moses. He didn't say, tell Pharaoh I was. No, he said, you tell Pharaoh I am. And there's a crowd that's living in the past. I was. We were. And listen, I am thrilled, hallelujah, back in the day. And everybody talk about, boy, back in the day, back in the day, back in the day. I love reading about back in the day. I love reading about missionaries back in the day. I love reading about revival back in the day. I love that. I mean, that thrills me. I get excited about that. Thank God for the Great Awakening in America with Whitfield in the 1700s. And thank God for Subal Stearns, who got saved under Whitfield, who saw the need and was a Baptist and began to start Baptist churches. And that's where our line of Baptists come from in the United States. Thank God for that. That excites me to hear about that. And to go back and study Anabaptist history all the way back into Europe and our Anabaptist forefathers, that thrills me. That excites me. But we think about what God did back in the day. But whoa, how God met needs back then. To hear about Whitfield praying in bread when they needed bread. To pray about Whitfield praying in milk when the children's home needed milk. That excites me. That thrills me. But there ain't nobody wrote no book about how when Earl Malpas needed an airplane, he prayed and God gave him a $700,000 airplane 3 years ago. I knew about it before he got it. He called me. He said, preacher, I'm afraid I'm getting scammed. He said, this is too good to be true. Something ain't right here. And I said, well, brother, God knows. Just don't shut no doors. Let's just see what God does. And the man got out of it and gave it to him. That's the largest single gift that I know of in my, I mean, that I was personally connected to. is $700,000 in one gift. It's the largest one I know anything about. Anybody know anything about bigger one bigger than that? You were a part of it. You know about it. You helped pray about it. Biggest one I ever done. Biggest one I've ever known about. But can I say this? A $700,000 airplane, even with inflation, beats a wagon load of bread. $700,000 airplane even beats a load of milk when you need breakfast. Hello? I'm sorry, even with inflation, with today's dollars, I guarantee you it costs more than that bread, more than that bill. But there's not been a book written about that. And yet God did that just a few years ago. And the fruit of that, not that particular airplane, but the fruit of that is flying, still flying today. And Brother Earl's going to be here next week with us. And he'll give you the details of the great I am and God meeting his needs now, right now. God in mercy, now. It was the eve before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Eve. It was Wednesday afternoon. It was late Wednesday afternoon before Thanksgiving. In 2000, I'd have to look at it. It's either 2004. Probably was 2004. I just have to think about it. And I got a call from a businessman. And he said, "Preacher, he got the warehouse but we were a long way from finishing." And he said, "I believe it's time to pave your parking lot." And I said, "Lord, brother, we're a long way from paving the parking lot. We're a long way from that. We ain't even thinking about that." He said, "No, I believe it's time to pave it now." Well, he happened to own a rock quarry across the street. And he happened to have a paving company leased sitting right there in front of it. And I said, "I'm listening." He said, "Well, ain't nobody know this." He said, "But I sold a rock quarry today." I said, "Well, I hate to hear that." He said, "No, you don't. It's going to be to your benefit." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because I have been creating a product for years. I've been taking old used asphalt they dig up off of roads, and I buy it and stockpile it, and I mix it with crusher run, and I create what I call a road bond product." And he said, "I get it for just $1 or $2 a ton from the asphalt company. They got to do something with it." And he said, "I get it. I run it through my crusher. I mix it with gravel and dirt," and said, "it makes the best road bond you ever seen." He said, "The problem is the company that's buying the quarry calls it hazardous waste." And he said, "Preacher, I've probably got 300,000 or 400,000 tons of finished road bond in a big pile up there." And he said, "They take over January the 1st. And he said, "Every ounce of it's got to go." He said, "But what's worse than that is I just got through buying several 100,000 tons of asphalt. And it's up there in a big pile. And it's got to go. And they want it cleaned up and they want the dirt where it's been set and gone." And I said, "Well, what's that got to do with us?" He said, "I think that place needs fuel down there. It's too low to suit me." And I said, "Well, I mean, you know, and he said, "I'll see you Friday morning." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, okay, I'll come over." "What time are you?" "About 9 o'clock. He said, "Oh, no, you don't understand." He said, "We'll start running trucks at 6 a.m. I said, "Wait a minute, what trucks?" He said, "I've hired a trucking company to start moving it. I'm bringing in my crew. We're putting on an extra loader. We're putting on the giant loader, bringing it up out of the pit. We're going to start loading separately." He said, "You'll have quad axle trucks show up at 6 a.m. He lied. It was quarter till. It was so dark that we had to back them in with flashlights. I said, "Where do you want it?" And they pile this Ain't Hill pile higher than my head here. It piled up the asphalt out and drove off. And here was another one backing in. Beep, beep, beep. And they could pile all this stuff up and it got ahead of us. trying to get a dozer to knock it down with, couldn't get a dozer, finally got a little old D3. It got up on top of them humps and wallered like a turtle. It was off balance. He hauled all day on Friday, and I said, "Whew, I'm glad that's over." He said, "Oh no, we hauling in the morning. We'll see you at 6. I said, "Well, time out. We got to change something. We can't do this." I said, "It's killing us. We got big ant hills in the park. We can't do this." I said, "Let's rethink this." So I got Mark Willis, and we got to looking at it. He said, "Back them in, and let's back them, and let's dump it and push it." He said, "I'll take knock it down and back it in." We started building from the road where you come in, and we filled at least 6 feet where you come in. And we put a base in, and back, if you go around back, it's got cracks in it. You go down front and look at it. That's one of those solid bases in Western North Carolina. We packed that stuff in there, and we packed it, and we packed it, and we packed it. And then he had to get rid of all that crusher on, all that road bond. There's places down there, road bond's 3 foot thick. 3 foot thick. That's the truth. There's no telling how many $100,000 worth of materials on that property right down there. And he paid to have it hauled, every bit of it. And then he said, "By the way, before I sell the business, I'm going to go ahead and take the gravel for your asphalt down to the asphalt place, and they're going to stockpile your gravel, put your name on it. I'm donating it so that when it gets warm and y'all get ready to pave, your gravel for your asphalt's free." And asphalt's mostly gravel. And we put down asphalt for pennies on the dollar, what it normally would do and what it normally would cost. And his good buddy, I cut us a deal on top of that, and we pave that whole outfit down there. And we got a parking lot that would cost, there's no telling what it would cost. We have no idea what it would cost. I can't tell you, I can't put a price tag of so many hundred thousand on it because I don't know. We lost track. We don't even know how many tons we hauled. We don't even know how many trucks we hauled. We put both of Mark's trucks on. We put all of those red trucks that fella had. And then there's other people's trucks got involved because we wasn't doing it fast enough to suit him. And we hauled from the Friday after Thanksgiving. We took half a day on Christmas Eve. We took Christmas Day. We started hauling at 6 o'clock the day after Christmas. And we hauled New Year's Eve up until dark. And that's the truth. Now that's the truth. I don't have no idea. There's no way of knowing. There's no way of telling. But God knew that me and Brother Blanton had been fighting them trucks down there in that mud hole for years. We have 4x4s we had laying out that we'd take and put that old cab over truck on, and we'd like railroad ties, like a railroad rail. We'd turn them 4x4s down and drive that truck on 4x4s out to where we was going. We had to have a wrecker in there more than once to pick them trailers up. We'd set a trailer off, leave, come back the next day, and he'd be hit with the nose on the ground. We had to get the big old wrecker to come in there and pick the trailers up because they sunk plumb out of sight in the dirt because it was so soft. We stuck, Stephen stuck a deuce and a half in that mess. It was so sticky. And one day Brother Blanton went to screaming and he had a truck hanging out over the bank. I mean, the one whole tandem wasn't even, there was no air on it. There was no dirt under it. It was in midair. It had not been for the trailer, son, he'd have been off in that gorge. I mean, off in the hole. We had a little bit in air cover to get there. Put all that new big old wide entrance, son. They coming out of the 53-foot trucks all the time. In and out of there, zoom, 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 all the time. That's a normal thing. But I remember the day, buddy, if you didn't hit it exactly right, you'd be in the hole. I mean in the hole. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say I was here for that. I ain't serving the great I was. I'm serving the great I am. But then can I tell you this? There's another crowd that it's all about what it's going to be someday. They're serving the great I will be. Now the word Jehovah does mean I am, I was, I will be. It does mean that. It carries that connotation. I am, I was, I will be. It's those three tenses, and it's a compound word, Yahweh or Jehovah, our English transliteration. Every time you see the word Lord in your Bible in all caps, that's that word. It's the great I am. And there's a crowd that sing about it, shout about it, talk about it, and can't wait to get there. And I'm one of them. But there's a crowd that's decided that there'll be nothing else on this earth to ever shout about. There'll be nothing else on this earth. There's a crowd that's dug them a hole and pulled the dirt in behind them. And I understand. I do understand. I understand a lot of people's counting on election, counting on politics to straighten this thing out. Didn't happen. I know a lot of people's counting on the economy coming back. Hadn't happened. A lot of people got a lot of ambitions and a lot of things. But can I tell you this? I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven by the grace of God. I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven. Because I believe God's going to give us a little heaven to go to heaven on. And so there's a crowd that's living in the future. And it's all about what will be. And I'm talking about beyond life. I'm talking about heaven, eternity. Sing about the sweet by and just have a spell. And then there's a crowd that sing about what used to be. What was the good old days. I tell our young people that were here for the Thursday night service last year, don't ever let anybody with gray hair like me ever tell you what you missed by not living in the good old days. If anybody ever starts telling you about how, Saul, son, you missed it, son, you ought to be back around back in 59, you ought to have been here. Well, there have been some good things through the years. Thank God there have been some move. God, surely I have. But I got news for you. I've been in this thing third of a century, and I ain't never seen nothing no better than Thursday night last year. The now and now. That's right. And so it's part of their doctrine. It's part of their belief. It's part of the way they think and how they interpret things. I honestly believe. Do you understand that there were no Christian schools, not only in this county, but there were none in this area when I was a kid? Do you understand that there most radio stations played gospel? But they know churches had radio stations. I never heard of such a thing. Huh? No such thing as that. I go on with that scenario if you want me to. And I can take that thing, go on and on and on. A few years ago, there was a shortwave station. Trying to think of who it was. It was that Garner Ted or some of that outfit, Christian Science, I don't know, had a 3 million watt shortwave down in the low country of South Carolina, had it up for sale. And man, I got all tore up about that thing. Because said it would reach about half the population of the world. They'd turn them antennas, had a steerable antenna, and they'd turn them 3 million watts on shortwave at night. They'd cross a pole with it, and they could reach all over the place. I said a few years ago, we're still downstairs when that happened, so that's been 14 years ago, I guess, because we moved up here in 99. But I remember when it happened. I remember thinking about it. I remember talking about it. I remember hearing about it. But at that time, internet was a novelty. Pretty much. Did you know Brian went places that they didn't even have electricity in the towns? And they had windmill and solar-powered internet connections? Did you know that on Timothy's Island, they don't have electricity, but they have internet and cell phone? Did you know that some places are skipping stringing copper wire for telephone service? They're not even going to do it. They're going to put up cell towers instead. And that's how they're being connected. I've seen people on camels talking on cell phones. Biggest issue the IMODs have back on the Alta Punta, well, there ain't no power as a way to charge their cell phones. You got to really watch it because they steal a battery out of your car. And it running, and you in it, going down the road. You got to really watch them. They steal your battery because they won't charge them cell phones. Because if you got a battery and you got a smartphone, you're connected to the world. And they will. They'll steal your batteries out of your car if you're not watching. I mean, and you don't have, you just slow up for a red light and they'll steal your battery. Biggest thing you've ever seen. You got to watch them. But it's amazing to me they live in mud huts with a fire in the middle that they heat and eat off of, and the smoke goes through a hole in the roof, and they got a cell phone. But not just a cell phone. They have a portal They have most of them have smartphones. Matter of fact, some of the latest phones that are around that I've seen them in third world countries. They asked me in South America 10 years ago to send them a digital phone, and I said, you can't use a digital phone. Why, those are just coming out here. Ain't no way y'all could use that. What they did, I didn't know was they did away with, they didn't even build analog down there. They built digital to start with. They were ahead of us. Japan had come in there and done test marketing, and Japan had sold them a bunch of digital phone equipment, and they didn't even build analog cell towers. They built digital cell towers to start with, and they're wanting our used phones from America used. Lord, most of us didn't even have a digital, much less a used one. Most of us still carrying them old big ones, you know. Or the ones with the shoulder harness, or you know what I'm talking about. Some of you kids don't know what that is. First cell phone with the ministry ever had is all you do to tote it. Is everything you do to carry it. You didn't want to tote it far because it had a battery in it and a big old thing swung on your side. And it was impressive. As recently as 1992, on October the 15th, I had a bag phone that had a battery in it. One of the ones that set you on your hump, always fell off, you know. But I had a bag phone. They were all mounted in your car, and they'd just come out with a bag phone. They hadn't come out with portables yet, but they'd come out with a bag phone. And it was a zipper thing, and it was about yay big square. And on October the 15th, 1992, we were doing the deal on KJV, closing KJV, and I was waiting on the phone call that the lawyer work had been done. And I was starving. I couldn't wait no longer. So I got that thing, made sure the battery was charged, and I carried it in a restaurant with me, and I laid it on the table. And when I went in, everybody in there looked funny at me. Chinese place over at Westgate. And right on cue, that thing went off and started ringing. And everybody in that restaurant stopped what they was doing, turned and looked at me. And I answered the phone at my table and sat there, and I had the whole place watching me the whole time. And they even went in the back and got cooks out of the back, and some of the waiters went and got the cooks, and they come look through the window at this white guy talking on the telephone at his table. Now, son, when the cell phone goes off in a restaurant, 73 people all reach for their pockets at the same time. Instinctively. Just let the stupid thing go off and everybody reaches for their pockets. Is that right? I get tired of people talking on cell phones in a restaurant. Hang up, shut up, and eat, you know? Especially when they're beside you and they're just laughing and carrying on, you know, just having a big time, you know? Would you please eat your food? Have mercy. That's technology that to annoy us that wasn't here just a little bit ago. We used to keep track of how many countries, and we used to have a map how many countries there was. That was a big deal. We used to keep a how many people there were that listened. That was a big deal. Now, folks, we ain't got no idea. So I say, how many of you had, preacher? We don't know. How many countries? We no clue. How many people he listed any given time? No way of knowing. It's boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. It's got so big now we can't even track it. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you now. I'm trying to expound the word now to you. Now, can I give you two more words? We'll make three out of it. Unto him. Now unto him. Unto him. And I wouldn't do justice to now if I didn't give you the other two words. Unto him. Because just as sure as the God that I serve has present ability, it's all based upon his personal ability. Now unto him. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he said in verse 19, go ye therefore. Do you understand that what we're attempting to do is not because it's something that we come up with? We sat down one day and said we thought this would be a good idea. It's not even so that to say that we're the only ones or that we're the... And by the way, there are some unique things. As far as we know, and I still have an open challenge, as far as we know, we are the first all gospel all gospel, non-commercial internet radio station in America. And I'm still waiting for somebody to come up with a date older than ours. And Lamar takes a lot of pride in that, so he checks all the time. And we've yet to find anybody. Nobody. Nowhere. Far as we know, we were the first. Far as we know, it was first in the world because wasn't nobody else in the world doing it. Far as we know, we were the only one in the world. We're the first in the world. We're first in the country, but as far as we know, we're first in the world. And as far as we know, we've done some research last year at our anniversary, and I had Christy go through and look up all the 50,000 watt stations in the United States. And we found to our conclusion that not one station that's 50,000 watts is considered to be gospel. There are some Christian talk formats. There's even some what they call Christian contemporary formats. But as far as we know, there's not one single 50,000 watt station in the United States of America that is gospel all the time. There was a time there was one in the Bahamas that was gospel at night. Apparently it's gone. There used to be one in Mexico that was 100,000 watts. The call letter started with X something. And it was just across the border and it broadcast into America. And you could hear that bad boy all over this country. Mays was on it. And Americans owned it, but it was in Mexico, so they didn't have to go by the American rules. And 50,000 is as most you can go in the United States on an AM. But they went 100,000 in Mexico on that thing. And they sold preaching to the American preachers at night. And you could hear that thing all over. The government shut it down 20 years ago. The one in the Bahamas is gone. I've listened for it several times. It's gone because I've tried it at night. It's not there anymore. I don't know what happened to it, but it's not there anymore. So we're trying to say, preacher, there's not one in the Philippines that the boys in the Philippines know anything about. I've tried to think of any other Christian nation that might have a 50,000 watt AM that's gospel. As far as we know, we're the only one in the world. As far as we know. Which is a sad testimony. We were the first gospel internet station in the world, as far as we know. And we're the last gospel AM station in the world, as far as we know. But you need to understand that we didn't do that to set records and so we could get up and thumb our suspenders and say, look at us. We're unique. No. You see, the Lord said, go ye therefore, now unto Him. The day we signed it on, we dedicated it unto Him. We dedicate it to Him every morning. We dedicate it to Him every day. It's unto Him. And I will say it this way. God started it. And if we'll keep our nose clean and we'll stay right with God, I believe He'll finish what He started. There's no guarantee we can just thumb our nose at heaven and go do what we want to and turn to our own resources and follow our own devices and God will supply. But I do believe that God's work done God's way will not lack for God's supply. Now that I believe. And we're living proof of that up until this point in time. But the Bible says now unto Him. Unto Him. His present ability, His personal ability. I want to just give you this one more thought. I'm going to add a couple more words. The Bible says, now unto Him that is able to do. And I would throw in, that's His practical ability. I hear about a lot of theory. And I hear about a lot of theology. And I hear a lot of things that sound good. And they look good on paper. And they sound good. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a hands-on person. You got to show me. You can tell me about a concept, but until you draw it, until I can see the schematic, until I can see the blueprint, I can't understand what you're saying. I got to see it. I'm not one of these that you can say, well, now if we move the couch to this side of the living room, it'll look really good. I'm not a person that can visualize that. So I got to move a couch over there and see if I like it. And I say, no, that looks awful. Move it back. Matter of fact, me and my wife do a lot of that. Put it up, take it down. Put it up, take it down. Put it up, take it down. We've had these banners up two or three times. We put it up, take it down. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? I don't like it. Look at it. We'll fix this. It's going to look really good. Look, fix it. No, I don't like it. Don't look good. Hey, we both like it. I mean, together, in unity, about the same things. Some of you are looking at me funny. What I'm trying to say is, I'm glad we have a practical Savior. I hear about people who get up and preach about the great God of heaven. And the great God of heaven parted the Red Sea. The great God of heaven. Say God with three syllables. God of heaven. Let me tell you about the God of heaven that I know. Son, he's able to do. Every day. Hallelujah. What do you need, Moses? I am. You need a dam? The dam up the Red Sea? A coffer dam? I am. You need a fire? To give you time to get in the channel to dry the cross on. I am. You need a flood to destroy them with. I am. You need your chariot wheels to come off in the midst of the Dead Sea. I am. You need food when you get them over there. I'm manna. You need water when you get them over there. I'm the water and the rock. You need fire by night, heat by night, and light to see by. I'm the pillar of fire. You need shade in the daytime. I'm the pillar of cloud. What do you need, Moses? I am. When you get tired of the manna, I'm quail from the sea. I am. And by the way, Moses, I'm going to judge them and I'm going to drop all limits 40 years, that's 20 years old and older. But for them that makes it through, their shoes are going to grow on their feet. Their shoes ain't going to wear out in 40 years. They'll have the same pair of shoes on. Those young people will. They'll cross in with the same pair of shoes that they had on when they started the journey. That's the God I serve. I've always wanted to do something like this. I never have sat down and really thought about it much, but I thought about doing a resume for the God I serve. I mean, in his resume, it'd say something like this: turns water into wine, heals the sick, cleanses the lepers, raises the dead, casts out demons, gives sight to the blind, walks on water, feeds the multitudes, provides money in the mouths of the fishes. Just to name a few. He's the great warrior. He's the great builder. He's the, hallelujah. Just name it. He's the great physician. I am that I am, he told Moses. Now unto him that is able to do, his practical ability. That's the God we serve. And Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 are the verses we'll post up here on the wall. Those are our Share-a-thon verses. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory. How? In the church. By Christ Jesus. When? Throughout all ages. World without end. And I like it when God amens himself. And he's closed by saying, amen. Amen. That's the God we serve. Do you know him?